The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Coming to you live from planet Earth's real Gotham City. My name is Ra, and I'm here to awaken the dormant particles spiraling inside your DNA. So come with me as we go further down the mystical spiral of life. Spiral Radio, where each and every week we unveil the different shades of you and the different shades of me until we all vibrate the same frequency. It's a black new moon tonight, everybody. Welcome, everybody, listening to us live on the Para-X Radio Network. Everybody in the chat room, welcome tonight. This is Fallen Angel Friday, everybody. And what Fallen Angel Friday is, the last Friday of every month, me and my very special guest, we go down the deep, ever-ending spiral of the Fallen Angels, which consists of many things. It's like I said, even if you go look up L.A. Marzulli, his whole research is dedicated to this topic. It's called The Watchers. And even though he goes more into the religious Christian aspect of it, it's a never-ending whole broad topic. And that's why I pick one show a month where we can just try to uncover each stone one by one. And our show is only an hour long, so we're going to try to cram in as much as we can, or we'll see what we got. Maybe we'll just go over a few things and we'll see what comes up. But my very special guest tonight, folks, you've heard him once before on my show. And it was when we were talking about the Organite Pyramids and a whole other stuff, numerology. He's from a 400-year-old bloodline of Buddhist priests. It's my good buddy, Masaki Miyagawa. And if you want to look him up right now, he's at akaida.com, and we are at themysticalspiral.com, and you can look us up there. Welcome, Masaki. I'm glad you're joining us tonight. How's it going?
Hey, Ra. Man, it's Fallen Angel Fridays, and I think this is really the mystery of mysteries, so really glad to be on, and I think we're going to get into some interesting topics tonight.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, yeah, this is like the whole, I mean, there's nothing more paranormal and supernatural than our existence. It's such a mystery. Like, we have no clue where we're from. We have different scriptures that we've been trying to translate and decipher and put together. We've been digging in the sand for hundreds and thousands of years. I mean, we're on this mission. Our human race is on this mission to figure out who we are, Masaki. I mean, think about it, everybody. We're the only creature that's vexed on this planet. Reptiles know what reptiles do. Dogs know what dogs do. But we're humans. We're this complicated, mysterious creature. We lie to ourselves and believe it. We get sex changes. We're confused. We have no clue what's going on with ourselves. You agree, right?
Well, I mean, basically, the human being is schizophrenic. He has a split personality. And if you really want to know what is the origin of evil, you know, like you said, everybody loves animals. We love our dogs. We love our cats, our pets. But the human being seems to have this, you know, split personality, right? There's a reason for that. And I think it goes directly to your topic, the fallen angels.
Yeah, it definitely mm-hmm. does. Like, everything falls into it. I mean, everything that I've been researching and experiencing my whole life, it has to do with this topic. Like, even everything Zachariah Sitchin's written, everything most paranormal and supernatural type authors and researchers, it falls under this topic. Even people that are ghost hunting, I mean, you're chasing the spiritual realm and you're looking, that even falls under this topic as well. You know, everything has to do with these beings, you know, these fallen angels.
Well, you know, I started out, like many, in the, I would say, the conspiracy end, but more of the Federal Reserve, the bankers and so forth. I wasn't so interested in the ET or the Nephilim fallen angels topic. Yeah. But like anything, if you study something 100%, you start from the medical, the vaccines, you start from the religious, you start from the political, the economic. It sounds crazy, but eventually you're going to start coming up on this area. And I told this similar thing to our friend James Bartley. You yeah. know, he specializes in the whole alien abduction and reptilian topic, which seems really far out. But the longer you spend, you start coming into this area of the fallen angels.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So true. And even our good friend Eve Lorgan and everything she, alien abduction, all those topics, it falls under this, you know, this topic. I mean, if you talk about, you know, some of the scriptures in the Bible, I mean, we're having classic abduction stories here. I mean, these are just the same thing that's going on. And somewhere along our line, you know, of our being, whether it's hundreds of thousands of years ago, whatever you want to call it, somewhere our DNA was altered. And whether you want to make it look like these fallen angels came down and they mated with women, or you want to, or we have another version where our DNA was created by the Anunnaki for mining of gold, and we were manipulated. So, I mean, when they came down on Mount Hermon and in the Book of Enoch, the fallen angels, they there was 200 of them, and they made a pact, and these were physical beings. Now they have to be, I mean, we're like, when we're talking about the fallen angels, people have this idea of you know, some mystical being of light, and they might be an ascended being with higher spiritual vibrations than us, but they have to have some kind of physical organs. You know, I'll keep it PG here. But some kind of physical organs like we do to be mating with women, or it was some kind of genetic mm-hmm. manipulation. So mm-hmm. either they translated this wrong, or it was some kind of genetic manipulation because they created the Nephilim, which were giants, you know. And mm-hmm. so, like, what are they talking about here? When they're talking about these beings came down on Mount Hermon and they saw a woman and they wanted to take wives, which means to have sex with them. And they created, you know, the Nephilim, which were these huge giants. I mean, were they talking about genetic manipulation, or were they talking about actual sex? Because if it was actual sex, then these beings had to have some kind of sexual organs. So they had to be some kind of physical,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Well, I mean, you even go to the symbol of the medical industry, right? The caduceus.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, we didn't know about the helix coil, the DNA, until the last century, right? But that symbol's been around for hundreds of thousands of years. So that's pretty
up, yeah.
interesting that the staff with the two serpents coiled around it. That seems to be, now we're starting to understand what the ancients were talking about, you know? And the thing is, Ra, I think you know, this topic seems far out to many people and would be ridiculed in academia and the so-called mainstream or lamestream, right? Yeah. But when you get to the highest levels of science, physics, and so forth, these people in their private time are highly interested in the occult, which is all about the topic of the fallen angels.
Yeah, and this symbol that, like, I've been researching this for a very long time. I mean, if you go through ancient Sumeria, the Dogon, all these symbols, they have these bird-like beings holding what something looks like a pine cone, and in front of them, they call it, in one example I have here, it's called the Assyrian moon tree. And if anybody, you know, is listening and they want to look it up on the computer right now, just type in images the Assyrian moon tree. And what you'll see on either end, a bird-like being that's a humanoid with wings and a beak like a bird, and he's holding something that looks like a pine cone, almost resembling our pineal gland. And it's like he's plucking it from the moon tree, and the moon tree looks exactly like a DNA sequence. So, I mean, and that is depicted in various forms. Even in ancient Sumeria, they have the Anunnaki gods, you know, with these big beards and these long elongated heads, and they have very musculars, and they're wearing these rich wristwatch type, you know, items, and they're all holding like this basket, and they have this pine cone in their hand, and they're like plucking it from the DNA.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to go into Sitchin? Give some background on this whole topic of the fallen angels, because I think really, although every tradition, every mythology throughout the world is talking about the time of the gods and men, right? It was really Zachariah Sitchin that brought it to us in the modern era.
Yeah, well, I mentioned the Anunnaki, and I guess I'm assuming that people already knew about. You know, I just said it. Yeah, if everybody wants a, you know. When I say Anunnaki, Zachariah Sitchin is this author, and he wrote the whole Earth Chronicle series. And he passed away a few years now, but he spent a majority of his life deciphering these ancient cuneiform tablets from ancient Mesopotamia area. And they're like these wedge-shaped style of writing, everybody. It's like, you know, they would make this impression on the clay, and then it would, you know, and it was a wedge-shaped symbol, almost like a hieroglyphic-type symbol. And, you know, he spent years deciphering these tablets, and he wrote all his books about, and it's, you know, it's his personal, like, almost, you know, his personal view. So the translation, you can't say is 100%, because it's also his own beliefs kind of inserted in there as well. So, but, I mean, he spent a good portion of his life deciphering these tablets, and it's a lot of these stories are stories that are in the Bible, but just more detailed than just different people's names. Mm-hmm. And go ahead.
Oh, well, you know, I find it interesting that, you know, this whole story of, I guess, you know, today people are more familiar with the Ancient Alien series, right? So it's coming more into the mass consciousness, but they still take Sitchin's word as gold. And, you know, there's various characters in the story. One of the main ones is Enki, right? That Enki was the one that helped humanity. He's the one that saved us from the flood. He taught us technology. Basically, the human race was his children, were, you know, his babies. And he was protecting us from the other Anunnaki who are so bad that they wanted to wipe out humanity. I think that this needs to be reexamined, because if you look throughout the various traditions, Enki is definitely connected to Prometheus, Dionysus, and you said it, Lucifer.
Yeah.
So definitely he is a god. But if you look, you know, by their fruits, you shall know them. And I think this idea of Enki as the good guy really needs to be re-examined. And, you know, Sitchin, I think even though it was a pretty obscure idea when it came out, this being the mystery of all mysteries, there was no way they would let out a book or a series of books like this if it was 100% correct. So I think people should really look into the story. You know, go get the Sitchin books, the Earth Chronicles, the 12th Planet, But there's a lot of new scholarship coming out, and especially if people go look up Wes Penry, the Wes Penry papers. He encapsulates, I mean, that's almost an encyclopedia in itself, but he has a site online, Wes Penry, the Wes Penry papers, will give you a good idea, overview, and may not agree with everything, but just to get into the topic beyond the Ancient Alien series and so forth, you know, there's a lot of good resources now online.
And it's like, you know, Lucifer, even in Kabbalah, like he's the bringer of light. Like he's the highest of the archangels in Kabbalah. And he refused to submit himself to Adam. And he was given the title of God's poisoner. And it's funny because in what's it, Kabbalah, he's actually called, they call it the left hand of judgment. It's Gevura, which is very similar to Garuda. You know, they call it Gevurah, Gevurah. And that's the left hand of judgment in Kabbalah. So that's very similar to like Garuda and Lucifer. And in the end of days, it's, you know, it's in just proportion to his like state of submission to Adam. And it's all tied together, all these stories. Like each religion, like Kabbalah, you got the Zionists, you got everything that on earth, there, it's like little pieces of the same stories. And it's very interesting because this topic, it's never ending. Like,
well yeah. You know, there's certain, you know, symbology is very important in the occult, and occult doesn't mean bad, it just means hidden, right? So these are call signs for those in the know, right, that are into these hidden or metaphysical topics. One of the common signs or symbols that you see of Enki when he's depicted is he has chains. And if you look at the heraldry or the shield, the symbols of the families in Europe and especially in England, you'll see a lion on one side and then a unicorn on the other. And the unicorn is bound with chains. And it said that the chained unicorn is Enki, right? Well, you're in New York, and if you go to the Statue of Liberty, if you look at the feet of Lady Liberty, what does she have? Some broken chains at her feet. And they say that America is the new Atlantis, new Babylon. So I would say that of all the countries in the world, America is ruled by Enki. And Enki is Lucifer, so you put that together.
Well, sure, yeah, I definitely agree with you. And it's funny that you say the Statue of Liberty because my family, my mom's brother had gotten in 1988. The Statue of Liberty was redone; like it was, they fixed it up. And I don't know if you remember seeing pictures of it. There were these massive scaffolds all over the Statue of Liberty from top to bottom. And my mom's brother got the contract to use the scaffolding on the Statue of Liberty. He was the one who supplied the scaffolding. It was like a big contract for that. So at that time, we went there to visit the Statue of Liberty. We had special access to go all the way to the top and all the way to the bottom. Like, we went there, and I was about 10 years old at the time. And I remember my mom holding my hand as we were walking up the stairs, and she stopped me, and she kept bumping her knees on the stairs because they were very narrow at the time. And she kept bumping her knees, and then she stopped me, and she goes, "You know what this is, right?" I go, "What?" She goes, "The Statue of Liberty." And she goes, and she knocked on the side of it with her finger. She goes, "This is the moon goddess. This is the representative of Diana, you know, the moon goddess and protecting the city." And then she's got her crown and her torch. And, you know, that's an occult symbol, you know, as well. And like, that's the moon goddess. I mean, we're stooped in this lore of the fallen angels. She's a fallen one. She's a bringer of light as well. Diana is, you know, a very powerful goddess, a moon goddess, and that Statue of Liberty represents that. I don't know if people realize that.
Well, and then, you know, also they always try to twist or pervert the symbols. So a lot of times they'll use because it does seem the further you go back, it was a more matriarchal, egalitarian system, right? And then they suppressed the female or the feminine principle. But even so, You know, Ra, in magical workings, you cannot make it happen without the male and the female energies. Yeah. So what does the Catholic Church do? Well, the priest wears the robe, which is a feminine garb, right? So they know that even in the so-called patriarchal church system, the thing that's been going on the past few thousand years, they're definitely using the feminine energies, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this, like, you know, how this, like, we were talking about the fallen angels before, like, with coming down on Mount Hermon, and, you know, I believe that that's the point where, like, because we already had our soul. I think if we were genetically manipulated at one point, and we got this genes of the fallen in us, that you know, that gave us, like, some, that what's made us this vexed creature, you know, that we are. You know, this.
Well, they call it what, the gods with a little g, right? And I think that's what people have to start thinking about, because there were humanoids here before the so-called intervention, and there was definitely genetic manipulation, but they did not create our spirit. They did not create our soul. So yeah. I think this is a something that people should really think about. This is why it's important that you're doing the show every, I guess it's the last week of the month, of Fallen Angel Fridays, because what I see is there are a lot of people. Now, you come from a family tradition. I come from a family tradition. So for us to see metaphysical paranormal things, it's not that unusual. But a lot of people, they just have no concept. So when they see anything, they see a UFO, they see some paranormal activity, they're really excited, but they have no wisdom or no kind of sense of if it's good or bad.
Yeah.
So if we're coming into a time when the gods may return, just because they come down and they, you know, it's that Project Blue Beam kind of thing where the Jesus comes down or the fallen angels come down, there will be a lot of people that will be deceived, because they're just going to be impressed that, wow, it's something greater, so-called greater than me. Actually, the human being has connection to source. We have connection to God. They are called fallen because they lost it.
Yeah.
So even though they may have UFOs, they can do, you know, things that seem like magic.
Yeah. And don't, it's just high technology.
Yeah. Don't put these beings above you if they appear. So this, I think that's a spiritual factor that people have to consider. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people got to understand that we as individuals, we should not put them above us, like you're saying, that we are a very unique species. I mean, we're the only ones that are able to perceive the inferior and superior worlds. We have that knowledge to be able to tap in both below and above us, and we're supposed to be able to like, you know, increase the like celestial influx to our planet when harmony is out of balance and there's disorder and evolution is delayed on our planet. We're supposed to be able to bridge the gap between worlds to bring about an increased flow of the divine, like a celestial influx, so we can bear, you know, we could bear the fruit of our evolution when it's delayed, when disorder is on our planet like it is now. We're supposed to be able to bring about that celestial influx and communicate with the other realms to help the harmony on our planet and our spiritual evolution. And that's where we've been vexed and we've been blanketed. And that goes back to, like, what I'm talking about with the moon tree and the pine cone. And if you're just joining us, because I saw some people like PSI in the chat room just joined us, you know, we're with Masaki Miyagawa at Akeda.com, and this is Fallen Angel Friday, and I'm at themysticalspiral.com, and we were talking before about how the moon tree is the ancient Assyrian moon tree is depicted sometimes, even in ancient Sumeria with the Anunnaki and Zachariah Sitchin's work. It's depicted as a moon tree with these two bird-like humanoid beings holding a pine cone on each side, like they're plucking the pine cone from the moon tree, and the moon tree looks like a DNA sequence. And it's like they're plucking the pine cone from the DNA sequence, and I'm thinking that it's representing the veil being put over our consciousness. Because if you look over time, we lost contact with the gods. At first, gods were walking among men. They were walking among us. And then from then, it went to just the priests were contacting them. The chosen were able to communicate with them. And then it went lower and lower. And now just, you know, we have this veil over our consciousness where we cannot, even if somebody brings up this kind of stuff, they're labeled crazy. You know, it's mm-hmm. it's horrible. It's this veil that's being put over our consciousness. And I think that's what that represents. Those pictures. And if you look right now in where ancient Mesopotamia is, that whole area, you know, these radical, you know, sects, they're destroying all these. They're taking like jigsaw hammers and chicks, oh, yeah. Chisels and they're destroying all these objects.
Well, I think, you know, talking about the whole Middle East topic, you know that there's a big conflict going on, and it's basically a proxy war between the West and the East. It's the U.S. and Russia, right? Now, there's a strategic reason, of course, why Russia's involved in the Middle East, because if, you know, that area becomes dominated by the West, then the next step's Russia, right? But there's also an occult reason why the Russians are there, and you're talking about the destruction of the artifacts. Well, yeah, that area of the Middle East, and Syria in particular, there are tribes there today that are basically they're Nordic kind of Aryan looking people, and there's the Yazidi tribe. They only marry with each other. And because of that, they still retain the blonde hair, very light eyes, right? These are bloodline brothers of the Slavs and the Russia sphere from thousands of years ago. And many of these temples, they will have swastikas, right? The Slavic Russian culture is very much connected to this swastika symbol. So, and you know what? It also goes back to the fallen angels. Yeah. So, you know, all this is connected, and the reason why they're wiping all this away, because people, this is not just, you know, people would think, oh, it's Arabs that live in the Middle East. Well, guess what? The history of the white race is very much interconnected with the Middle East.
And let which people I, know, which, too, that, which, that's, yeah, which, that's which swastika I, symbol, you know, that's not Nazi, that's ancient Hindu and Buddhist, you know, symbol. That also represents the spiral galaxy, like spiral.
Well, it's a symbol of light. It's a symbol of the spiraling energy, a portal energy, just like the pyramid energy, you know. But they say that the swastika is connected to, you know, the stellar constellations of Orion and so forth. So, yeah. You know, if you look at I think it's the Big Dipper, as it turns through the four seasons, it makes a swastika. So that's the home star, right? That's the center point, because you know the whole – this is another thing I find interesting, Ra. We always hear about the Anunnaki, it's Enki, it's Enlil, and so forth. And it's in the story, but it's very little talked about. I don't know why. But, okay, Anunnaki, we know that. We know Nibiru and so forth. But why do they never mention Sirius? Why do they never mention Orion? Because it's very much part – basically – the human race is caught in between a factional kind of tug of war of, you know, Orion and Sirius, right? I mean, you know, you probably know this more than me because you've read a lot of books.
Yeah. We got 1 minute till break. So what I wanted to bring up before we go to break is you mentioned the blue beam technology, and it made me think about all these, because when we get back from break, we'll go even deeper. And I want to bring up the Dogon now, because you're talking about Sirius. And, this blue beam technology, I've had someone tell me that's kind of an insider, that these clown sightings, that some of them, I put it up on an article in my news section on themysticalspiral.com, guys. This clown thing, now a lot of people are being getting caught on the news, they're copycats or whatever. But when these evil looking clowns, some of them you'll see underneath like a street lamp and they'll mysteriously disappear or something like that. It might be this blue beam technology. I'll bring it back up after break, because we're going to get to break now. It's 8:30. The name of the song is Bulletproof, and it's by Far Radio Clouds. And also the other band with these members in it is called Analog Driver. Far Radio Clouds is his little side project. But you can find them on Reverb Nation. This song's about his near-death experience, and he is one of the fallen. Spiral Out.
Source for everything paranormal, Para X.
And we're back. This is Ra from Spiral Radio, and that was Far Radio Clouds with the song Bulletproof. If you're just joining us, I'm with my very special guest, Masaki Miyagawa, and he's at Akeda.com. And this is TMS, the mystical spiral.com. And this is Spiral Radio, coming to you live and direct from the Para X Radio Network. And this is Fallen Angels Friday, where we go over the very broad, never-ending spiral of the fallen angels. Now, before we get back into it, before we left, I was talking about those evil clown sightings. And someone, an insider, had told me that some of these clown sightings where you see like an evil clown just hanging out in front of a street lamp. He might even flash a lot of money, or he'll have a bloody face, something that you wouldn't even fathom would be fake or a hologram. and it would be even like sweat is dripping off of him. You know, it would be so lifelike. Like it would, they can stage a supernatural event, and also they're simultaneously giving some kind of electromagnetic telepathy waves where you hear things in your head. You know, it might be like, come with me, or whatever. It's like giving you like programming messages as well, where they're beaming it in from a satellite. And you know, this is not some sci-fi mojo humble jumbo stuff, guys. This is real technology. Look it up. It's called Blue Beam technology. And we've talked about using this in the past. Like, it's been around. Like, we wanted to use it against Cuba, you know, in the missile crisis. We were going to project like Jesus Christ over the water so we can go in there and take them by storm. They were, when they're defenseless, looking at the spiritual, you know. And we were in 1991, we were going to use this on Saddam Hussein. They were talking about using it where they would project Allah over the desert, you know, and then they were going to beam these messages in to overthrow Saddam, he's evil. They were proposing this in the 90s. So imagine what that technology is now. And the reason why they're doing this is, you know, they're trying to maybe, you know, some kind of hidden programming or some kind of inciting, you know, terror or whatever, you know. But maybe they're just trying out their technology.
Well, you know, the thing is that they have already been running things for a long time, but they really need our free will. They need the will of the people to give in. So that's why they haven't, you know, taken over 100%, because really this boils down to a spiritual battle. So if they have a second coming, or, you know, the blue beam, you know, mass ships appear over cities and so forth. It's mainly a show, because they say that a human being, the soul of one human being is equivalent to a small nuclear reactor or a small sun. And so we are connected to God. We are connected to Source. They somehow lost connection to Source. So this is kind of deep, but think about this, right? If you're a being, an intelligence, and you lost connection to Source, you know, so-called God, but you need to keep, you know, surviving, well, where do you get that energy from? Well, you got to suck it from other people. So basically, you're a ghost. You're like a vampire, you know? The human being can produce, can create. But these beings, no matter how intelligent they are, no matter how so-called powerful they are, they lack something that the human race has.
Yeah, they do. And I think that we are the hybrids on this earth, that we are, you know, like we were saying before, that we're the ones that are maybe, you know, we could be the ETs ourselves. Like, we were mixed with something else. And we have that fallen angel gene in us, which is the divine spark of our creation. Like, that's what we are. We're this like spiritual being encased in matter, you know, in physical matter. And we have that constant battle of good and evil inside of us, of heaven and hell, that spiritual, you know. And it's like our whole life is depending on if we're going to go polarized towards the good or polarized towards the bad. And I think at a higher ascended vibration, that whether you're now, I'm not saying that the bad is good at all, but I'm at a high vibration, that if you're polarized towards the dark or polarized towards the good, it's equally as powerful, you know. So it's just, you have to be one way or the other, you know. There's no in between. But the human, we are this in between being. That our whole life is, we're constant this battle between. So it's like, what happens now as a human? What are we this fallen angel type creature that we have this mixture of our DNA, and they're, you know, they want to say that 97% of our DNA is junk DNA, and that it's inactive, or it's rubbish. Like, and that's, that can't be. what happens is these ancient symbols, you know, these ancient writings, I believe they're activating stuff in our memory and in our DNA that's encoded in there. And we're starting to remember. This is a time of remembering now. Everybody's trying to remember. Everybody's trying to figure out where we're coming from. One by one, people are awakening. You know, it's happening. And that's my goal here for, you know, us to at least one show a month to try to overturn these stones, because we don't know what we are. And this time of remembering that we're in is very important, because we need to know who we are. We just need to know.
Can I talk a little bit about the bloodlines and how this all connects to the fallen angels?
Yeah. You talking about like the RH negative and like
the red hair
and.
Well, you know.
I wanted to bring up the Dogon and Metatron too, the Archangel Metatron.
Well, you know, this topic is so huge, Ra. I mean, literally, you could just focus on this all your shows, but we're trying to pack it into 1 hour. But
That's what I said. Like, L.A. Marzulli does his whole thing is this, you know, it's everything. Every show.
So basically, the setup in the ancient world was, again, there were humanoids here before these multiple interventions. So it's not like they totally created us 100%. Definitely our spirit was created from source. They just altered the container, right? But in the ancient world, say in Sumeria, Babylon, there was a time when the gods, so-called gods with the little g, they were actually present, like you could see them. Then it moved on to where the priests would interact with the gods, and they weren't so visible in public, you know? But these priests are their familiars. They were hybrids, very close hybrids. That's why they were allowed to interact with the so-called gods, right? And then it moved on to where, you know, the gods went back to wherever they come from, or they slid further back into hiding, so they're not so apparent in public. And then the priests became the brotherhoods, the secret societies, our politicians.
That's what I was saying. Yep.
Our bankers. But the very important thing to remember is they have a higher percentage of these so-called alien genes, the specific bloodline of the controllers who basically made us to be slaves. So when people are like, you know, oh, the human race, we're so lowly, we're so evil, we're so bad, the human race should just disappear, leave the earth back to the animals and the plants. Well, you have to remember, it's not all our fault. We have been totally messed with. The intervention broke so many universal laws, right? And we are not all the same. We're always told, oh, it's multiculturalism. Everybody's the same. We're all of one blood. Well, I'll tell you this, Ra. We can all get along, no matter if you're pink, green, blue, or whatever. But we are not of all. We are not of all one blood. We are hybrids, okay? And one of the things that has come out, especially since DNA and blood typing has come out, there is this bloodline called the RH negative bloodline. Okay, so we know that basically blood types.
Just the mark of Cain, right?
Well, some people say it is the mark of Cain. It's basically an alien bloodline. But most people, RH comes from rhesus, like the rhesus monkey. And most people have these mammalian antigens, the protein coat on the blood, right? But there is a very small percent, it's around 10 or 15% of people, it's mainly based within the white race, that does not have these antigens. So it's called RH negative, okay? So think about this. RH, monkey blood. Well, what does RH negative mean? Not monkey blood? Right? Now, typically, if you look around online, people are saying, you know, it's a reptilian bloodline and so forth. RH negative is bad. I don't necessarily think that's 100% true. Now, this is just my intuitive sense and from looking around, reading into these topics. But there is definitely some kind of archontic negative force within this RH negative bloodline. And And virtually all of the nobility in Europe is Rh negative. Okay, a lot of your bankers and so forth would be Rh negative.
That's why they a lot of them inbreed as well. They try to keep that bloodline pure.
Well, I mean, the thing is that this bloodline is highly psychic. People that are born, you know, typically they'll have they'll be the blonde hair, blue eyed, or they'll be red hair, green eyed.
Yeah.
And then now, since there's been so much mixing, you may find Mexican people with very light eyes, but you know, they have these bloodline traits. You may find people that are very melanated, you know, considered maybe African American or black, that would still have this. I don't necessarily think it's all negative, because one of the things, like our friend James Bartley and Evie Lorgan have talked about, is they love to co-opt the bloodline, because people with this kind of blood have very strong psychic powers. Okay, they're very intuitive. You could say they're more spiritual in some sense. So I think over time, a lot of these families and bloodlines have been co-opted. You know, maybe some archontic forces came in to take over those powers. But it's definitely this whole question of the Rh negatives is something to look into. And there are certain interesting things about this Rh negative bloodline, because, again, we're always told we're all of one blood, we're all the same, right? Well, guess what? People with Rh negative blood sometimes have an extra rib, an extra bone vertebrae, right?
Yeah, even extra fingers.
Yeah. While we were talking about that, I was just talking to a girl. And she's, you know, I was talking to her because she's very interested in our kind of topics. And she has a son, and she said, you know what, my son was born with six fingers. People with the Rh negative can be born with six, you know, extra.
They say everybody before Moses had six fingers and webbed fingers, like it was webbed, like we had like an amphibious type hand, everyone before Moses. That's what they say, you know. Even Kabbalists say that as well.
So definitely, you know, some might even call this the dragon bloodline, and we know that, you know, the Celts, very strong psychic line, you know. And there's a common cross that you find, the Celtic Nordic with the Native American Indian. And that's because it's said that they wanted to cross the warrior spirit of the Nordics with the magic, or the medicine, or the magic of the Native Americans. So again, I'm just bringing this up because there's definitely a thing about bloodlines that we're not all the same. And in fact, an Rh negative mother cannot have a baby with an Rh positive father until modern times. They will get
Now they can make it happen now?
Yeah, because basically the immune system of the mother will attack the baby, but they have a shot now to basically neutralize the immune reaction. But this kind of rejection of the fetus only happens within different, like, hybrid. You know, it's a different species, basically. It's a different subspecies. So that directly shows you we are not all the same. Otherwise, people could all interbreed with no problem.
Well, this red hair, this red hair, you know, bloodline, too. You know, it's, to me, it's like the descendants of the Nephilim. And even more, like you said, Muhammad and Genghis Khan had red hair. And Genghis Khan, I mean, he was a warrior shaman. Like, he would go to the mountains to communicate with the sky gods. I mean, he wasn't just some bloodthirsty maniac. He was a shaman. He was a medicine man. He was a mystical type figure. And he had that highly psychic energy. And he had red hair. I mean, and all back to the fallen angels. Because these giants, these Nephilim with these red hair, and they were giants, and they were created, like I said, these 200 angels came down on Mount Hermon, and they made a pact, and their leader, Semyaza, he was the one baby, it could be equaled to Lucifer and Enki as well, Semyaza, because he was the one who taught the, like, basically magic and technology, and he taught them, each one of them, there was the chief of tens they call it in the Book of Enoch, the chief of tens. There was these 10 generals, like, that were in charge of the 200 fallen, and they were the 10 leaders. And each one of these 10 taught humans a different thing. One of them taught the, you know, battle, how to make swords. One of them taught them how women how to use makeup, and all they taught man everything. And they saw women and they wanted to, you know, make wives, and they made these race of giants with these red hair. And they were huge at first, hundreds of feet. And then, you know, gradually as time went down, they went down to, you know, 12, 15 feet. And that's when it coincides with the lore of the Native Americans. Now, over here in the Northeast, where I am in New York, it's big time Native American land over here. And I've been going, there's for 14 years in a row now, they've had in Bear Mountain, New York, they've had these Native American festivals. And I've got to talk to a few elders over time. And they have these oral traditions passed down with these red-haired giants. Now, they talk about it, and these oral traditions are way more accurate than our written traditions, because never has a word been changed. Each generation chooses a kid to, you know, grow up and get taught these lessons, you know, and these stories. And the kid's whole life is devoted to learning these stories. They pick a kid that shows the interest and that's smart, and they teach him word by word, and he can never change it. And they have the lore of these like 12 to 15 foot red haired giants with double row teeth and extra fingers and extra toes. And they would come and snatch a woman up from the tribe and run to the mountains with them. And the Native Americans would tail them. The warriors would try to stop the giants, and a giant would pick a warrior up by his leg, bite his head off, drink his blood, you know, and the warriors would try to follow them back to the mountains. And when they saw what was going on, these giants would be doing like sex rituals with the woman before they consumed them. It was intense. And, you know, they had to take down a group of these, the two warrior tribes. There's a wampum belt that's shown at the festival. And the wampum belt shows the story of two warrior tribes that had to make a pact with each other so they can go take down a family of these giants. So this red-haired giant lore is, I mean, that can't be a coincidence. I mean, that's too much. That's too much of a coincidence. I mean, the Native Americans were fighting these just a couple thousand years ago, you know?
Mm-hmm. And you know, some of this has come out in the popular culture, but I think people just didn't have a context for it, because I think a lot of people know the Dan Brown book and the movie The Da Vinci Code, right? Well, a lot of that was derived from a book called Holy Blood, Holy Grail. It came out in the early 80s. And this basically connects to the fallen angels. It just wasn't told to the people that it was the fallen angels. And the whole concept of the Da Vinci Code was that, you know, Jesus had a baby with Mary Magdalene. They had children, and then these children were taken to Europe, became the Merovingians, right? And those became the noble families of Europe.
Yeah.
Well, basically, what they're trying to do, because this actually is an ideology that exists, is they're trying to give legitimacy to these controllers, because they're saying, well, we have the special blood, the blood of Jesus, but in actuality, it's probably the blood of Lucifer. And that's why we have the divine right of kings to rule over all of you, the common people. You know, that's what the whole story of the Da Vinci Code was actually about.
Well, that's why I'm thinking, like, in the Bible, they're more talking about Enki or Lucifer when they're talking about the god of the material plane. They're talking about some kind of physical being. I don't think they're talking about the god, the universal creator, the source, you know, because like I was even telling you the other day when we were chatting, the story of Job. I mean, you got God talking with Lucifer here, and Lucifer comes along with God, and God's talking with Lucifer, and God's saying, hey, look at Job. He's so loyal. He's one of our best followers. You know, he's so devoted to us. And Lucifer goes, you know, of course he's loyal. He you give him he's got all the cattle. He's got all the beautiful women. He's so rich, you know. Of course he's loyal. Anybody be loyal. They got everything. He's got everything. What if he didn't have anything? How loyal would he be then? So God pulls his card. He says, all right, I'll take you up on that. So they mess with Job and they take everything from him to see if he would still be loyal. I mean, that's not, to me, that's not the universal creator right there. That's two physical beings that have a little bit more power than another being, and they want to mess with his life, just to see what happens, to see if he'll still be devoted. I mean, to me, that's not the all-knowing creator. That's some kind of other physical being of the material world. It's saying, hey, take his material stuff. Let's see what he does then. And if he still is devoted, I mean, that cannot be the creator. There's no way that a God that created everything, the universal source, he's just like a universal consciousness. It can't be some physical being that's messing with somebody like that. It just can't be.
Well, if you go back to the Roman and Greek gods, I mean, it's like a soap opera, you know, infighting, these people are having sex.
It's the same with Enki and Enlil.
Yep, sex, like drugs, and rock and roll, yep. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's the same with the Enki and Enlil story in Zachariah Sitchin. It's a brother and a stepbrother, you know, they're half-brothers, and it's a battle for who, you know, one was born first, and it's a battle for, you know, and then they split into two factions, basically, like the Bird Clan and the, you know, the Serpent Clan. Clan. Yeah. Clan is Lucifer.
You know, I'll give you another example of, I think, a story that everybody knows, they just haven't put it in context, is David and Goliath. You know, Goliath was said to be a giant. He was from Canaan. And the Bible definitely has a lot of stories about these giants and Nephilim. It's just that now, you know, the internet era, we're getting so much information and being able to put it in context. And I would tell people that, you know, as a Buddhist, right? I grew up a Buddhist. I'm actually starting to look at a lot of biblical stuff because I'm kind of shocked how much information is in there that, you know, you just have to put it in if you put it in context of Atlantis and this the intervention and the Sitchin stuff, I think it becomes very interesting.
Yeah, and I think Atlantis, you know, they were all technology and no spiritual, and that's why they went down. I mean, and even it's interesting that we're talking about, you know, the fallen angel and the mixture of the bloodlines, because like even like if we talk about like in Kabbalah, like they're talking about like a celestial and a terrestrial being, they came together and they had an encounter, like, and that's what created like Melchizedek, someone born without a mother and father. He's just, you know, born without having a mother or father. He's no beginning or end of life. He's just an individual, like, and this is who became Enoch in Kabbalah, or Metatron even, and that's on the top tree of life in Kabbalah. And Metatron is the one who oversees, you know, us humans and helps us out. And it's interesting, like, that all ties together, and it's like that's like, you know, some kind of supreme divine ascended being over us. And that's just like the Buddha and just like all these other divine ascended beings. I think that we, at some point in our spiritual vibration, we reach a certain level and we ascend, and that's where, you know, we've been blinded and the veil's been put over us because we've halted our evolution. You know, it's killing us, and we got like 2 minutes till break, so we
want, okay, you know, well,
I mean, not break, but 2 minutes till we close.
Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, emphasize again, you know, I think this whole topic is very key, no matter, you know, what direction of the alternative research you're interested in. It all crosses at the fallen angels, you know, and I think that a lot of what you said, Ra, about, you know, who we are, you know, where we've been, you can't know where you're going if you don't know where you've been, right? And the human being, I think this is the greatest show on earth, because the UFO activity is so high right now. Everybody's really interested in what the human race is going to do, because we represent the center point of good and evil, of free will. Which, you know, are you going to rise to a higher spiritual level, or are you going to fall to the other side of the fallen angels? You know, we're kind of in a tug of war of consciousness.
Yeah, we are. And you guys, you're listening to Spiral Radio, and this is themysticalspiral.com, and you can find my very special guest who does numerology readings. Everybody, he's got these new gold pyramids that have actual gold in it. So last time when we had him on, you know, he has a new product now who has actually real gold in his organite pyramids. And Misaki also does amazing numerology readings, everybody. And you can find him at akata.com. This is Fallen Angel Friday. Spiral House.